A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, because I'm showing enough. In the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hardwood Podcast. The podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall. With me, as always, it's Eric Wayne. Eric, we had a lot of people who seemed to enjoy the hardwood power rankings last night. Could you have ever foreseen it being such a monumental success?
Yeah, I obviously did, didn't I? I chose to rank species of wood. Obviously, I saw it was going to be super popular. Shout out to all you wood lovers out there.
You told the listeners to at me if they enjoyed it, and shockingly, many listeners added me and told me they enjoyed it.
Thank you, friends. Good job.
Yeah, we actually had one person, and I'm silly me. I should have pulled up the name before I said this, but he actually made us a graphic that said Hardwood Podcast with Eric and Jordan. That was really really cool. We appreciate you taking the time to do something nice off the stupid words that come out of our mouth.
Yeah. It's getting extremely meta. Like, we're like a fan of a fan, and they're fans of a fans of a fan. So it's like getting 10 things removed. It's fun. It's all good.
It's literally what life is all about.
Yeah. The more you talk, the more meta you get. It's fine.
Are you getting excited for Copa America? Starts on Friday.
You know, I kind of am. I have a guy I work with, and he's like, yeah, you're going to go down to Chicago, watch Copa at the – I guess they have some kind of soccer stadium in Chicago where they're going to be playing this thing. I was like, oh, interesting. That might be kind of fun. How much are tickets? Well, just to get in, you're going to spend like $120. But for good seats, you're probably like $400 or $500. I'm like, you know, no.
It's actually at Soldier Field where the Bears play. So it's not like it's a tiny little venue.
Jeez, they're getting mad cash for some Copa action.
I actually looked into going. Messi and Argentina is going to be there for one of the matches, and that obviously would have been really, really cool to see. But So Eric, as father of children, I'm assuming that you are aware of the existence of this Angry Birds movie.
Yeah, I am. I don't like to tell them what's happening in the outside world at all. I want to keep them protected and isolated, pretty much so I don't have to spend money.
That makes sense. So you have not seen this movie?
I have not, no. I mean, they are very familiar with the game. I've played the game, and the game is, you know, it's mindless and mildly entertaining.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, like everything's fine. How do you make a movie out of it?
I actually looked up the premise. Apparently, we find out the answer to the big question that everyone has always been asking: why are these birds so angry?
Right.
Yeah, that's what the IMDb homepage said. So,
right.
That's the extent of the research I did. And the thing that baffles me about this is, like, to the best of my knowledge, to like get a movie made, several people have to think that it's a good idea, and like, quite frankly, that seems a bit of a long shot.
But, I mean, just look at the pure numbers of this game. Like, how many people have it on their phones? It's just pure name recognition. Something doesn't have to be good in order for people to, like, buy into it. This is why we have Donald Trump.
And Adam Sandler movies.
And Adam Sandler. It's just name recognition. You know, I don't care what you say about me, just so you spell my name right. And that's why we have crap like this in
There's
our lives.
There's several fairly big names in it that I would like, oh, they're funny. Like Jason Sudeikis is in it, who I think is very funny.
And the what's the one guy? Will something?
Will Forte?
The other Saturday Night Live leftover guy who's supposed to be
Bill Hader.
Yeah, Bill Hader.
Yeah. He's funny, too. Yeah, I kind of like him.
Are you going to go see it?
I will absolutely not. So anyway, all of this brings us to
the seven point.
It brings us to this week's
Angry Birds
question.
Podcast.
It could be. Well, maybe we'll have a graphic for that next week. Who from Tiger's Land, and in parentheses, team, broadcasters, writers, and Twitter, would make the best Angry Bird?
It's got to be somebody who's got a natural tendency and want to explode. It's got to be Kinsler, doesn't it?
Oh,
Kinsler
yeah.
is kind of a hothead, you know, just below the surface. He wants to, punch a pig in the mouth.
Yeah.
Blow up a structure.
I went with Jim Leland. Like, I can right. definitely picture him, like, being turned red and, like, catapulting him across my phone screen 100 times.
Yeah. I feel like the birds would look good with a little mustache.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And a big old ciggy in his mouth.
Yep, and they all go backwards, like moonwalk style.
Yeah.
Great.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com or on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. If you take a screenshot of your review and tweet it to me or the show's account, I will retweet it and show you some love. Speaking of subscribing, I saw the graphic you made this week. Bit of a dig at me.
It was a pretty intricate Photoshop job. You know, my skills were pretty impressed. I just changed the word on the button of subscribe to subscribe.
Yeah.
So, subscribe to us. I hope you'll be a subscriber.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Eric, let's get into some Tiger talk.
Feels
like we've reached a bit of a leveling off point for the Tigers. The Fire Osmus talk has died down. Finally, we're not like a million miles out in the division. Tigers Twitter, of course, has no chill whatsoever. But watching over the last 2 weeks has been far more enjoyable, I guess would say, an uplifting experience. How are you feeling about the boys right now?
I feel like this is we're not... you know, a team that is going to lose 11 of 12 consistently. And we're probably not a team that's going to win four out of six, or what was our winning streak? That's not going to hold up either. We had some hard competition. We had some easy competition. The question is, how is this thing going to wash out? Like, are we a 500 team? Are we an above 500 team, or are we really what that losing streak showed? And that remains yet to be seen. So,
and I think we're going to know a lot more about what kind of team we are in the next, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks. Let me list off the coming up calendar. So let's see. We have the Angels for three, and then we come home and we face the Yanks for one, which is a nice little sandwich game there at 7:40. That's a really odd time. Not
why 7:40? Do you know why?
I don't know, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Then
we have three with the White Sox. Let's see. Three with the Jays. Three at the Yankees. Three at the White Sox. And four at the Royals. That's not going to be fun. That's not a stretch that, you know, inspires a lot of confidence. But if we make it through that stretch and we're still playing, you know, slightly above 500 baseball, I think we're going to be in good shape. What has been the biggest joy to you so far in watching this club?
Man, for the last little while, it's been Cameron Maben. Mm-hmm. He's every time he gets up, you're like, you're excited to see him hit. You're excited to see what he's going to do. I think that's been fun, and probably even more fun than that has been kind of the emergence of the power of Castellanos.
Yes.
It's been fun to see him come up and just attack and hit a lot of home runs. Yeah. That's been the joy. How about you?
Honestly, getting Mickey, and I know that we as Detroit sports fans have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. Like, you know, the national broadcasters never cover the Tigers. Nobody knows anything about it. Mike Trout's the best because of, you know, his amazing war. But getting Mickey back to the point where he's one of the game's best hitters and it seems to be getting acknowledged for that again, I've enjoyed that. Like, I like to see our guys getting the recognition that they deserve. And just like you said with Castellanos, it's nice to see him kind of starting to step into that category too.
You know, there was rumblings for a while that I saw that, Miguel Cabrera is like this singles hitter now. You know, no power. Yeah, he's hitting for average, but all the power is gone. And then in the last couple weeks, he's just blown the lid off of that.
My numbers could be incorrect, but I believe he hit 7 homers in May. That's a pretty good total.
Yeah.
So coming into tonight, we currently sit 3 back of Kansas City, 2.5 back of Cleveland, and 2 back of the White Sox. The talk coming into the year was that this was going to be a majorly stacked division. It's certainly been competitive to this point, but is this division actually any good?
I think the Royals are good just because of what they've done. They have experience, and they're just an all-around, in all facets of the game, the Royals are still really solid, aren't they?
They are, minus both Alex Gordon and Moustakas for decent period. Moustakas tore his ACL. He gone. And
when did that happen?
When they collided. They injured each other.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is if there was going to be a catastrophic Royals injury, they would do it to each other. Alex Gordon has, I think he broke his wrist or something. So it's not like season, but I mean, it's not short term.
Wow. I'm not totally buying the White Sox.
No.
I mean, they have Sale. They have, what is it? Rondon.
Just Carlos Rodon, Rodon.
Oh yeah. Him. And, but they're not going to hold up long term, are they?
No, they're fading.
The Indians are better.
The Indians rotation, it's silly.
The Indians are good.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, no offense to White Sox fans, but I feel like there's a chance that they fall out. But it's going to be a three-horse race of 3 teams, in my opinion, that are not probably not the best teams in the league. That's for sure.
We need to find some 4th and 5th starter pitching. Or third, behind Verlander and Zimmerman, who can we really count on?
Fulmer has been mighty fine recently.
Yeah, so Fulmer. But I think Dan and Jim were talking about it the other day. Like, one of Pelfrey or Sanchez has to be better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be at least somewhat solid. And that has to come around for us to continue to be in there.
And I think to a certain extent, Pelfrey has taken strides in that direction. I mean, what was it?
Yeah, his last start was closer.
Was it Saturday or Sunday?
We lost Sunday. We lost 2-4.
I don't know. I don't know why that seems so important. I had to ask. But yeah, I mean, he went essentially, you know, minus the Kinsler error, which errors do happen in baseball. Yep. He went 6 scoreless innings. I mean,
yep. That's great.
That's all you can ask for. The start before that was not great, but the 2 before that, as we talked about, were quality start adjacent. Like, he's getting there. Did you read?
Come on, Jordan.
Did you read?
Are you believing the words that are coming out of your mouth?
I really am. And actually, Hookslide on Twitter asked us, "You're still on the Pelf train. Give me 3 good reasons that this makes sense at all." Do you want me to give these now, or should we get to them later?
We're talking about it now.
All right. Give
me your Pelf reasons. Fine.
Okay. This is for you, Hook. Number 1, the eye test. We've talked about this before. Like, I watch him and I see a lively fastball, 93, 94, 95. The splitter has sharp downward movements, and the slider, I'm not going to say that it's borderline wipeout, but it has wipeout tendencies. And I feel like both of them have really good, like, late movement. He's just lacking that consistency to be able to harness, which seems kind of funny when you're talking about a, what, 32-year-old dude. But if he raises his consistency just a hair, he'll be there. Okay, number two, rate of contact on pitches outside the zone is the highest it's been, or excuse me, the lowest it's been since 2007, and his rate of contact on pitches inside the zone is the lowest since 2012, which is the second lowest of his career. And those are nerdy stats to say he's missing bats at a higher level than his career average.
He's getting swings and misses. He's
getting swings and misses. And eventually that will hopefully translate. And three, there are tons of positive regression available for him to get. He is currently yielding a 333 average in 0-2 counts versus his career average of yielding 228. One and two count isn't quite as big of a gap. And he's, 2-2 count, he is yielding a 321 batting average versus a career of 244.
So with this last point, if I understand you correctly, I jumped off the Pelf train because his results were sucking.
Yes.
Were absolutely horrible. He's getting hit. He's not lasting in games. He's walking guys. It's not good. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me I should be getting on the Pelf train. If Pelfrey was a stock, I should be loading up right now because he has all this room to come up, and he's going to regress back to at least his career averages, and there's going to be happiness and flowers to come.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, one more thing. Hitters are hitting
30. I'm still not.
Hitters are hitting 30 points higher versus him than his career average with runners in scoring in scoring position. So you have to assume, well, you don't have to assume. I assume that will positively regress.
Didn't you talk about that with Sanchez last week? Like, they're never finding chances to not give up runs.
Yes.
Like,
classic.
Yeah. That's pretty, yeah.
So,
okay, things are going to get better.
Things,
I believe it.
And I don't have any of those stats for Anibal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not on the Anibal is coming back train.
Okay.
But that leads us into our next discussion. Shane Green is nearing his return, which means that one of Fulmer, Shane Green, Anibal, or Pelfrey has to be headed to a new location. And I put in parentheses the bullpen or Toledo. What do you want to see?
What do I want to see?
Yep.
I want to see them to ride it out with Sanchez and Pelfrey in the rotation and just put Green in the bullpen.
Okay. What do you think will actually
happen?
Send
Saupold back down.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think will actually happen? I think that's actually what will happen too.
And I agree. My dad and I were discussing this today. He thinks that if we move Anibal to the bullpen, there's a chance that he goes all Wade Davis on us. And my point, my thought is, you know who has a lot more better chance to go Wade Davis, go from starter to dominant reliever? Shane Green. If Shane Green, he's throwing, 95, 96 right now? You play that up a couple miles an hour coming out of the bullpen. That, I will say wipeout slider from him. He got the two-seam fastball. Like, I don't, it's hard to weigh the value of a starter versus a reliever. But having another arm in the bullpen other than K-Rod that isn't just straight trash right now, that would be really, really beneficial.
Yeah, the bullpen, yeah. All right, I'm buying it. Like I said, I think that's what I'd like to see. I think that's probably the most... in Major League Baseball, when you have established veterans like Pelfrey and Sanchez, I think unless it's very clear to a guy like Sanchez, like, we have a plan for you. This is how it's going to work. You're going to be our bullpen ace. And he has full buy-in on something like that, or he recommends something like that, brings it up. It is so hard for managers and leadership to talk to a veteran guy and say, all right, now we decided to switch it up. This is going to be your role now. With younger guys, you can move them all around, and hey, they have to fall in line a little bit. But unless you really communicate with these guys and they're fully on board, that's a tough move to make.
And the thing that people don't realize that haven't pitched is, like, yes, you're doing the same thing, but the process of getting yourself ready to pitch coming out of the bullpen versus starting is wildly different. And ball players, you know, not all, but the stereotype is that they're creatures of habit. Like, Andy Ball has been starting since he was probably 10 years old. He probably has the routine that he does to get ready. Like, it's not just flip a switch, boom, he's a reliever now. You know,
has Pelfrey ever relieved?
I believe he has two career relief appearances, so it's not really all that different.
So, neither of these guys have really ever been relievers.
No. Did you read Kurt Menching's article in the Detroit News today?
No. What did Kurt have to say?
He suggested that we move both Annie Ball and Pelfrey to the pen, and he had an incredible stat in here. Annie Ball versus the lineup the third time through, he's yielding a 1.185 OPS, which is better than Miggy's best ever season. So essentially going through the third time in the lineup, every single batter he's facing is better than Miggy's best season, which is
we've established that his third time through the order is absolute trash. That is not a secret.
No,
but I mean, all right, let's play with Kurt's idea. Mm-hmm. Sure, Kurt,
absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. Now, who's going to be in your rotation? Boyd and Green?
Yes.
Do you really trust those guys more than you would trust Sanchez and Pelf?
I don't think that you can trust them as much, but there's more upside at this point, I would say.
Sure, I'd say there's probably more upside.
But there's more downside. Hope. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there's something to dream on there, but I don't think the immediate results would be any better, necessarily.
Yeah, and all three of those guys are much more likely to turn in, you know, two innings, eight earned runs, and you're deep into your bullpen, as opposed to with Annie Ball, generally, you know, you're getting 4 to 5 not terrible innings, and the same thing with Pelf. You know?
So ahead. I think you got to ride it out with these guys just a little longer. You do. See what they can do.
Absolutely. So that answers a couple questions. And Bradley Moyer asked us, how amazing is Fulmer, future JV or future Porcello? Which I thought was a really interesting question.
Ooh, yeah. Can I pick something in the middle?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I have to pick something in the middle. I mean, Verlander was the freaking MVP. And Porcello was a competent ground ball, you know, solid middle rotation guy for a while, but is kind of on the fringe of that. So if I had to pick, I would say he's more Porcello than Verlander, because that's just kind of the law of averages would say that.
Yeah, definitely. And I was racking my brain to come up with a decent comp for where I think he could be. And I came up with nothing. So
good job.
Yeah. So I ran some stats. I, you know, typed into my number machine. Yeah. In the month of May, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
These are our bullpen ERAs.
Okay.
Warwick sits at 9.64.
That's bad.
Alex Wilson, 9.53.
These are May ERAs.
Just the month of May. Mark Lowe, 9.31.
Cool.
Justin Wilson, 8.38.
That's wow! I thought he'd be better than that.
My boy Drew Verhagen, RIP, 6.75, and Kyle Ryan 4.91. Do you know who that leaves as the good pitchers for the month of May out of the bullpen?
That would be K-Rod.
That would be K-Rod.
And do you have his ERA?
Yep, 2.45, 9 out of 9.
That's strong.
In locking it down. Yep,
that's strong. So remember when we had Miggy and the Mudhens? I guess we have K-Rod in the crap.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Is that off the top of your head?
Well, I'd like to. It's kind of alliteration, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So we have one of the four that we mentioned: Annie Ball, Pelfrey, Shane Green, or Fulmer going into the pen. Pretty much automatic. I think we both think it's going to be the broadcast booth seems to think it's going to be Shane Green too, which I would assume that they know.
If they pull Fulmer out of this rotation, fans are going to be going up to Comerica Park with torches and pitchforks.
And they,
I mean, you cannot
probably
pull
should at this point. Yeah.
You cannot pull him out of the rotation.
So here are some more options. Boyd and Norris, I think at this point are both decent options out of the pen. Like, I mean, those are like terrible, terrible numbers. Let's see. Down at Toledo, Blaine sits at 1.17 ERA. Get him up. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Blaine can come back. Yeah. Warwick. It was nice to see you, Warwick.
Oh, absolutely.
You, you know, you've done your thing, I think.
And
sorry,
the majority of his runs just came in that one game that he blew for. Was it Pelf that he blew it for? It's irrelevant. Yeah. Logan Kensing sits at 1.76, and Preston Gilmet 0.75 ERA. Like those are decent numbers, and you know it's AAA, but it's decent.
But they've had, I mean, all the ERAs that you rattled off, that was for an entire month. That's not like for a week or two.
It was 30 whole days.
Oh, yikes!
And you know we sound really negative, but Alex Wilson, I believe, is a good pitcher. He has track record of being a good pitcher. Same thing with Justin Wilson.
Yeah. Yep.
Mark Lowe finished the year last year pretty not good, so I'm less confident in him. But, you know, there are some arms out there that are proven and will probably come back.
So if you had to pick one arm in our current bullpen or available in the bullpen, could be available in our bullpen or in Toledo, and behind K-Rod, and you needed one inning out of a guy, who do you want? Do you have the most confidence in?
I'm going with Justin Wilson. If he comes in with nobody on base.
Yeah. Because all things being equal.
Yeah. I want Justin Wilson terrible when he comes in with guys on base. Like, really bad. Yeah.
So that's the kind of the differentiation, you think?
Yeah.
You've got to have a clean inning for him?
Yeah. You got to start him at the beginning of the inning. Yeah,
gotcha.
Absolutely.
He's the guy I have the most confidence in. Mm-hmm. Behind K-Rod of anybody is him. It's been pretty much him all year.
And to be honest, it's probably Blaine after that. I mean,
interesting.
At this moment in time, I guess.
I guess after him, I'd still probably take Alex Wilson.
Yeah,
Alex Wilson.
And maybe I trust my eyes too much. Alex's pitch movement looks good. Like that breaking ball away, it's still there. He's not spotting it real well at the moment. It's not something that he can, you know, get somebody to fish at, which is what you want with that sweeping breaking ball away. Okay. Are you ready to get to some other Twitter questions?
Yes.
Okay. Brett Yoder asked, does the Kinsler error foreshadow season of almost getting over the hump but swimming in a constant sea of eh?
No. I don't believe in jinxes and black hats and crap like that. What do you think?
I thought it was an interesting comparison. Hopefully not, but I mean, I could see it. And no, I don't believe in like jinxes or whatever anyway. Robert Baker asked, and this one's for you, what is the best beer for beer can chicken on the grill?
You know, I've never made beer can chicken. Mm. I've always wanted to do that. But I would assume beer can chicken, you're just getting kind of the moisture and a little bit of the flavor on it. I don't think you want anything too expensive. And I don't think you needed to waste your money on anything real hoppy. So I'm picking a beer that's relatively cheap, but yeah, you want it in a can. It's kind of flavorful. I don't know. I gotta think. It's gonna come in a can though. Guinness.
Mm.
Maybe.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Or you just get like a PBR. Wow. You know, just get a PBR and use that for your beer can chicken.
Classic PBR. Yep. At Space Age Unicorn asks us, is it healthy for me to keep an emotional attachment to Matt Boyd and Daniel Norris or nah?
Unless you're like extended family or something, no. You should not have, you know, relationships. You know. What kind of Dr. Phil advice do you have?
I'd say go for it. They both seem like really nice guys.
Right. Stop, you know, look in their windows with the binoculars. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know to what extent her emotional attachment is. You know, could just be following them on Twitter. It's probably more, you know, because America today, like. All right. One.
Stop who you want.
One more person, two questions. First one is definitely for you. Is sand called sand because it's in between the sea and the land?
Sea and the land. I've heard that as well. No, it's not called that because of that. That's a total, like, backwards. It's like a backronym.
And the second one is less silly. In light of the Shields rumors, if the Tigers were to trade for a big pitcher, who could/should we trade for them?
There's Shields rumors?
Yes, what? Shields to the White Sox.
Oh. So what's the question? Who should we trade away?
Yeah, I guess he's asking who are our big pieces at this point.
Moya.
Moya, yeah.
And Jacoby Jones.
No, I refuse to trade him.
That's why I'm saying he's a piece.
Yeah.
I'd rather trade I'd rather trade Moya than Jones.
Oh, absolutely.
Moya has fatal flaws. He's flawed. And the Tigers have had him in the organization since he's been 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, that's young. It takes time to develop. But he's been with the Tigers for a long time. And he's always had power, and he's never been able to shake the inconsistency.
What I would love is for a Moya truther to give me a real, like, logical answer to why he's not Marcus Thames from the left side. You know what I mean? Like, he is left-handed Marcus Thames.
Right.
And you know where Marcus Thames is right now? Me either.
Yeah. I mean, if he made as much contact as Thames, I think it'd be an improvement. He just does not make enough contact. I mean, you hope someday he becomes Jack Cust or something like that.
Luke Scott,
You hope he carves out a career with just power and strikeouts, but he doesn't walk enough.
No. And
I don't see it.
Can you imagine Tigers Twitter if we traded Moya?
Oh, we should. I think other baseball executives see everything that we see with Moya.
And if they don't, they probably should be removed from their posts.
He's a tower of power and nothing else. Sorry, Moya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Are you ready to move to your power rankings?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. We have choices. We have models of minivan.
Are you just dropping coins all over the place?
I did just drop a coin. I'm sorry. I did turn the game off, so that wouldn't interfere, but yes, I'm dropping the coin everywhere. We have models of minivan. I was so excited to pull out my notes that says model of minivan on the top. But then, you know, I don't know if you know this, but it's a holiday weekend.
It is.
And it's the beginning of summer. And what's one thing that's important to do in the summertime? And that's go out for ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Ice cream. So the other choice I have here today is flavors of hand-dipped Hudsonville ice cream. Hudsonville ice cream, of course, being the superior brand of ice cream throughout Michigan. And this would be things that you can get in the big 3-gallon hand-dipped container. So if you're going out for ice cream, you get the big tub of ice cream and they serve it to you.
Yeah. Why don't we go with that? It was a hot day here in Traverse City. We can cool us off with some ice cream talk.
Everybody should enjoy ice cream. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. This is the top seven and then the bottom three. Number seven is cookies and cream. Cookies and cream is a simple flavor, but it's a simple delight. You know, it's kind of a creamy vanilla with, you know, kind of cookie, Oreo cookies. You know what cookies and cream ice cream is. Everybody knows what that is. Hopefully. It's simple and perfect. And fun fact, in my local newspaper when I was like 5 years old, there's a picture of me smiling at the Baskin-Robbins. And it said, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? You know, they asked the man on the street, whatever. And this was my 15 minutes of fame. And my quote was, I like cookies and cream. And my mom still has the newspaper clipping.
I thought that was going to be some sort of George Costanza reference, you know, with the ice cream all over his face on TV.
No, it was just a picture of me being a plump little kid eating ice cream. That's all.
Okay,
that's my cookies and cream story. That's number seven.
It's only better from here.
Number six may be a little controversial, and that is Super Scoop, which is the Hudsonville's brand of Superman ice cream. Superman ice cream is kind of hated universally by adults, but kids love Superman, right? So it's very unserious. I like the taste. It feels kind of it tastes like childhood and happiness, you know, like laying in some grass. And it's brightly neon colored, you know. It's nothing that your mother-in-law would paint a room with. It's just gaudy and delicious.
That's okay, so I'm no, like, comic book expert. Well, what's the connection between Superman, ice cream, and, like, a million different colors?
Well, you see, Jordan, I have no idea. I can't even make up some BS fast enough for that. I have no idea.
If you know the answer to that, at Eric and let him know. And then let me know.
I have made up a story for this.
Okay, here we go.
The ice cream contains what colors? Blue, red, and yellow. Mm-hmm. Right? What colors are featured on Superman's outfit?
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm assuming
red, and yellow.
Okay.
Yeah, blue, red, and yellow.
That actually does make perfect sense. All right.
I just totally made that up.
Whether that's true or not, it actually does. It feels like it could be a thing.
It's like the sea, the sand being between the sea and the land. speaking of sea, do you know why seagulls are called seagulls?
Because they live by the sea.
Well, if they live by the bay, they'd be called bagels.
But tish.
Hey, my kids love that joke. All right, moving along. Number five is tiger tracks. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but this is the Detroit Tigers branded flavor of Hudsonville ice cream. They got the licensing, the whole nine yards.
All right. I see Tigers making a buck.
Yeah, yeah. So this is vanilla with fudge and chocolate-covered pretzel baseballs.
Ooh.
That are orange, I think.
That sounds quite delicious.
Yeah, it gives you a nice crunch, and you know I'm a sucker for anything that has the old English D on it.
Absolutely.
I'm just, you know, I'm blindly buying anything without a logo on it. I'm such a sucker. It's number five. Number four is kind of a surprise. Royal coconut and chocolate. Hmm. I like coconut. It's coconut ice cream. It's got some coconut in it. It's got little ripples of chocolate. It's delicious. It's something different. You know, it's not chocolate. It's not vanilla. It's coconut.
I have trouble with coconut. It feels like I'm eating, like, suntan lotion.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't want to eat suntan lotion.
Probably non-toxic.
Probably.
You won't get your esophagus sunburned that way. Number three is Mackinac Island Fudge. Mackinac Island Fudge is a classic. I mean, it's been around for a long time. It's delicious. And it's nostalgic because my dad always orders Mackinac Island Fudge. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, always Mackinac.
Or if that's an option at all.
Yeah, even if it's not Mackinac. You know, it's like going to McDonald's and ordering a Whopper or whatever. But he doesn't, you know, always Mackinac Island Fudge.
We have a little bit of a rivalry with the Mackinac Island Fudge up here. We have a lot of our own fudge shops in Traverse City, so... You know,
do you?
It's a bit of a.
Do you have Kilwins?
We do. I mean, that's kind of like a Michigan chain, though. We have.
What do you have in Traverse City?
We have Doug
Rubias or Rabias or whatever.
No, I don't think we have that one. We have a bunch of Doug Murdochs. There are several. I'm not super into fudge, so I don't have them on like my Rolodex.
Are you getting run over with tourists now?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are.
Well, they pay your salary, so I suppose
they really do.
Yay, tourists. Okay, moving along. Number two, cake batter.
Okay.
I love cake batter ice cream. That's why it's number two. It's kind of a new kid on the block. I feel like cake batter is a recent development in ice cream technology. And it is a technological breakthrough because it's got the perfect kind of like pale yellow color. And the cake, it tastes like yellow cake. It's really wonderful. It's a nice change of pace. Order some cake batter ice cream. You'll never be sorry.
Okay.
All right. And we have made it. We've arrived at number one. You want to take a shot?
Oh, this is a tough one. I feel like you've covered all of the like obvious ones. I'm going to go with butter pecan.
Oh, no. Hmm. No. That almost made the bottom three.
I'm not a huge fan either. That was just the only one that came to mind.
Number one. Is mint chocolate chip.
Oh, duh. I'm an idiot.
I love mint chocolate chip. It's this perfect green kind of pistachio color. It's kind of this bright minty green, obviously, because it's mint ice cream. It's refreshing. You're eating ice cream in the summer, so you're hot. You know, and the mint chocolate chip has this little richness of the chocolate, but it's nice, cool, kind of refreshing taste in your mouth. And I love mint. I love mint flavored things, and I love chocolate. So that's number one, mint chocolate chip. Order it next time you're out for ice cream.
The only issue I have with mint chocolate chip is I don't like to have to like crunch on the chocolate chips. There's something about ice cream, like, I don't want to have to bite. You know, when sometimes
gosh, lazy.
You know, ice cream is it goes down smooth. You know,
they're not really chips. If you get the Hudsonville flavor, like flakes, they're like flakes. And if you just like let them, you know, linger in your mouth a little,
cut those flakes in half and do like half flakes, then, you know, it'd be even more in that direction. All right, moving on to your bottom three.
Just at the people at Hudsonville Ice Cream, I'm sure they'll make the flakes smaller for you.
Deal.
Okay.
I would assume so.
All right. So the fourth from the worst we've covered is butter pecan. Because butter pecan is an old person's flavor. Yes. It reminds me of like my grandparents. And, you know, you go to you visit your grandma and grandpa as a kid, and they pull out the butter pecan ice cream, and you're like, come on, where's the real good ice cream? I don't want to eat this.
Where is anything else? Thoughts. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Then number three from the worst is bubble gum.
Ugh.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this? My kids like want to order this. Okay, it's bubblegum ice cream with bubblegum pieces in it. Like, are you supposed to eat it? Are you supposed to set it aside and chew it later? Are you not supposed to eat it? I'm confused. Like, what is this?
Sounds like a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. Number two, I'm just going to poop on your entire region. And number two from the worst is Grand Traverse Bay Cherry Fudge.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Don't mix fruit in my chocolate.
Amen.
Especially like a tart fruit, like a cherry. Like banana, I'm okay with. But like berries and chocolate for me do not mix. Especially cherry and fudge. Like, I do not want that. I've never ordered it. It doesn't sound good. It's crap. Don't order that.
Just between you and me, I wish that our like main fruit was literally anything else. I don't super love cherries. I don't really love the cherry flavor. But that's what everyone wants up here. Yeah. So that's what they
get. I like cherries okay, but they're fine. Not an ice cream with chocolate. No. Boo. Number one worst is rainbow sherbet.
Yes, it's not ice cream.
It's not ice cream. You're going out for ice cream. And rainbow sherbet, honestly, is a proxy for all sherbets and sorbets. Don't order that filth. And you know you're going into an ice cream shop and you're looking, you know, you're peering into the glass and you're looking at all the tubs. And one of them that's full. The one that's absolutely full is the sorbet or the sherbet, because nobody's ordering that crap. It's just like some fussy great aunt who like can't process dairy or whatever. You have to drag her wrinkly ass along. She's grumpy because she can't eat, you know, dairy products. Like, stop it, aunt. Nobody wants you. Don't order rainbow sherbet's crap. That's power rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Okay, are you ready to look forward to next week?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously tonight, which is Monday, Verlander against... Do you know how to pronounce this man's first name?
No.
Is it Julius Chassin?
Yeah.
He's been around for a long time for me to have no clue as to how to pronounce his first name. He used to play for the Rockies. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, Annie Ball against Hector Santiago, who follows me on Twitter, which is really weird because I'm not.
That's weird.
Yeah. Wednesday, Michael Fulmer versus Matt Schumacher. That's a good matchup for us. I like that one. Thursday, makeup game against the Yankees. Looks like it's either Boyd or Pelfrey against Michael Pineda, which I guess we could have gotten Tanaka, but, you know, Pineda is not a fun matchup. And then the weekend series at home against the White Sox, Zimmerman against Rodon on Friday, the big one, Verlander against Sale on Saturday, and Annie Ball against Jose Quintana on Sunday. Let's talk about Verlander and Sale. Oh,
power on power.
Let's Boom. Go. That will be fun. I just hope there's not a stiff wind blowing in Comerica that day, or we're going to have to, you know, put some paperweights on Chris Sale.
Sale is so narrow. Eat a sandwich, kid.
Any hitters that you're excited to watch play this week?
Trout?
Yeah. I guess. With that. I feel like he's kind of one of those, like, mega super quiet superstars. Like, he plays out on the West Coast. You never see him because he comes on at 10 at night. But he's really good. Just ask the war people. So it'll be fun to see him. And our first look at the Todd Father for the White Sox.
The Todd Father?
Yeah, Todd Frazier. You never heard of that?
Yeah, no, I have not.
I kind of dig it. I'm not going to lie. and as far as pitchers that I'm excited to see throw, Pineda, it'll be a tough night for us, but I do like watching him throw. And that Verlander against Sale, that'll be must-see JV and Chris Sale. Last week, you nailed the record prediction at 3-3, which I believe makes two straight weeks for you. Listen, nailing it.
Not only did I get it exactly right, I said how this each series would break out and was correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitively remember you doing all of that and being correct.
Just trust me, that was awesome.
Okay.
That's what I tell people all the time.
So, seven games this week. What's going to happen this week?
I think it's going to be a strong week for us. I think we're going to go 4-3. A winning record. I think we're going to win tonight. I haven't seen the score. I'm probably way behind. But I think we can win that Yankees makeup game, and I think we can get a couple versus the White Sox. I do.
Well, the Pelf start, obviously, we're putting that down in the win column. I like Verlander over Sale. I'm also going 4-3, which I think that would be a good week. I mean,
that's a good week.
Yeah. Okay, this is what my best friend Jeremy constantly tells me, that we need to revamp our pick-to-click system because there's no objective way to determine a winner. Well, we had Cameron Maben against Mike Pelfrey this week. Both had for Pelf, he had a pretty decent week. Cameron Maben had a pretty decent week. I don't know. Who do you think won? I mean, it's probably Cam. Just because it's Pelf. All right, I'll go ahead and give you the win. That takes you up to 4-2 on the year. But with winning, that means you have to go first this week.
That makes sense. Sure, why not? I am feeling – who am I feeling? You know who's kind of poised for a breakout? I don't think I've picked him this year. He's been hitting a little better, and I'm going to take James McCann.
Oh, okay.
James McCann, he's been poor all year, but I'm starting to feel a few things with him kind of coming together. I think he's feeling a little stronger after the ankle business. I'm going to go James McCann.
Okay, I thought you were going J-Up, but obviously you're still worried about him from spring training.
Well, I wasn't, but my solidity on this, my resolution to support him is kind of eroding a little bit every time I see him flailing at pitches outside the strike zone.
Yeah, next week let's talk about him and Iggy and McCann in depth. Next week I looked it up. It's like the one third of the way through the season. And we'll kind of do maybe like a little bit more of a season review.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to talk about J-Up because he just catches so much stick all the time, and he's gonna hit. Like, it's Justin freaking Upton. Like, he's gonna hit.
He's got to.
Okay, back to my pick to click. I think it's gonna be Ian's week. Wants to make up for that bad error on Sunday. And I feel like he's been a little bit off that, like, massive pace he started the season with. And I think he gets back to it this week.
Yep. Okay.
So that should be a pretty good matchup. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Much better than when I pick Anthony Gose or Pelf.
Didn't the week after you picked him get sent down?
Yes, and it looks like I won that week. So tip of the cap. Because you picked Romine.
That's right. What a train wreck.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com. I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And as always, subscribe, which would actually help us more. Rate and review us on the iTunes. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we head out for the night?
Yeah, and if you do not want to get in touch with us, what you have to do is, well, do nothing.
Just continue doing what you are currently doing, yeah.
Right. But, no, we're friendly people. I mean, well, Jordan's friendly. I'm a jerk. But, I mean, yeah, you can talk to us. We're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a big, long Mike Pelfrey dissertation with Hookslide and Kenny on Twitter last night, and I quite enjoyed it. It had been, like, I don't know, probably a month since I'd really, you know, came up with talking points about him. So
you're gonna want to catch up on that, friends. Check that out on twitter.com.
With that being said, we'll catch you guys next week, and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.